Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. May you be blessed on this Christmas day. Amen. Think of it. The whole Christian church on earth is celebrating the birth of Jesus, born in a stable. In the little town of Bethlehem of Judea, the city of David, even though his birth took place over 2,000 years ago. After all these centuries, people continue to celebrate and rejoice because through all the darkness, Jesus still shines. He is the light that brings life. And the light in this light is eternal. It's important to recognize that the terms light and life are used many times in the Holy Scriptures and often refer to Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. On another occasion, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He also said, my words are spirit, and they are life. Wow, what a statement. And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, as recorded in 2 Corinthians, this, quote, For God, who said, Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Unquote. All of this reinforces a key part of our gospel text this Christmas day, which says in part, In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Christians before this have understood the importance of these words and have used symbols to remind themselves about them. Christmas lights have been used since the 18th century when Christians in Germany would use candles to decorate their trees and remind them of the light of Jesus. This was, of course, very dangerous. And by the late 19th century, incandescent light bulbs were beginning to be strung on Christmas trees to replace dangerous candles. One Christmas light, in particular, has an interesting history. It was bought by Edward and Liddell Decker 2 days after they were married in 1946. And out of a package of four, one bulb has continued to shine for over 70 years. It has been placed on Christmas trees in all these years, on both inside and outside decorations. It has been an ever-present light in the Decker's life for all those years. Isn't that amazing? But it may surprise you to know that Christians are not the first believers to use light to celebrate the Lord. I don't know how many of you have gotten through the book of Leviticus. It's not the easiest book to get through. But in Leviticus 23 of God's Old Testament, the Lord gave instructions to Moses for the Israelites to celebrate his appointed feasts at specific times. And God gave all sorts of specific details on how this was to be done. One feast was called the Feast of Booths. And at the end of the first day of the Feast of Booths, there would be a ceremony called the Illumination of the Temple. And this involved the priest going into an area where there were four golden oil-fed candelabras, or menorahs, standing 75 feet high. Four of them. And after the ritual lighting, the lamps would remind the people of the pillar of fire the Lord used to guide them as they went through the wilderness before they came to the promised land. Here's the thing. All night, the light would shine, illuminating the entire city. And many believed that this ceremony was a sign that God would send a light, an even greater light, the light, to a sin-darkened world. There is another term in the Bible that refers to Jesus and is used in our gospel reading for this day. It is Word. John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then the text indicates that the Word is also a person, because in the next verse it says, quote, "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." That's where we get our sermon title today. The light is in the light. And then we have, following that, one of the most important verses in all of the Holy Scriptures, in verse 14, quote, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, this is important. It is important because there are religious groups, both in the past and in the present, who try to say today that, well, Jesus is special. Yes, special mission from God. But He's not God. And there are three of these groups right on Chillicothe Road from here, three different groups from here to Kirtland, who worship in buildings but do not believe that Jesus is God incarnate. Don't listen to them. Listen to what the Holy Scriptures say clearly. Today we celebrate that God kept His promise. He sent a Savior, Jesus, who is the light of the world. But there continues to be a problem. John 1, 10 to 11 sums it up for us. Quote, "He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him." Why? John 3 answers that question. John 3, 19. "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." We dare not point our finger just at them. We are all afflicted with this darkness we call sin, pastors included. And each of us can find excuses for our sinful thoughts and words and actions. But the bottom line is, with humanity, too many people want to be creators of their own lives rather than admit their faults and shortcomings and confess them to a merciful God who is willing to forgive them if we repent. It started with Adam and Eve disobeying God, and it continued with many of God's own people sinning and abandoning God after they entered the promised land. And remember, they complained a lot before they even got to the promised land. And it is increasingly apparent today, right here in America, probably the richest and the most blessed country in the history of the world. Yet, we are straying farther and farther away from the Ten Commandments that God gave to His people for the good of mankind. But the good news is, God did not abandon Adam and Eve. The good news is that even in the middle of Israel's darkness, God punished them, but He did not abandon them. And He will not abandon you or me if we repent of our sins and confess them to Him and ask for His forgiveness. Yes, a great light has appeared to all people walking in darkness. God has acted. And after a couple thousand of years of waiting, He finally sent His Messiah, His Savior, into the world. And that's what we celebrate today. The Word became flesh in the form of a tiny baby. It was nothing less than the incarnation of God Himself. God can do anything. This is how He chose to redeem us. And this baby grew up and gave a strong indication of who He was by doing all sorts of miracles. He lived a life that was impossible for us, a life without sin. And when He died on the cross, it was in our place, in payment for our sins. His sacrifice was acceptable to God the Father because it was a holy and perfect sacrifice which satisfies the demands of a holy and perfect God. And John 1:12 reminds us this morning of God, of the greatest gift of all, when it says, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." That's who we are. The light that is still burning for Edward and Liddell Baker will someday go out. But the light of the world, Jesus Christ, will never go out. The light of the gospel can never be extinguished because Jesus Christ is the light that is and was and is to come. And that's what we're doing today, celebrating this great gift of Jesus. It's Christmas.